Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Thursday, April 7th, 2022. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, Ketanji Brown Jackson's ascension to the Supreme Court. Number two, Republicans crushing Democrats on fundraising. And number three, the new hot topic for political ads, inflation. All right, Jake, let's get to it. The number one story of the day, the month, the week for Democrats is they have successfully now gotten to not only nominate, but today they will vote to put KBJ on the bench. It appeared that, you know, we knew this was going to happen, but it's even happening a little earlier than maybe we even thought.
Yeah, so the Senate hopes to clear this, to clear the Ketanji Brown Jackson's nomination to the Supreme Court by 145 today. As I say, always bet the over when it comes to Congress. So maybe it'll be done by like midnight. No, but I think it'll be done by the late afternoon, and that confirmation will be in the record books, in the history books, the first black woman to be nominated and confirmed, both nominated and confirmed to the Supreme Court. History will be made, and it was never really in doubt. It was kind of a, at times, an ugly process, but it's a big victory for the White House, for Chuck Schumer, especially. I mean, you gotta make this point in a 50-50 Senate, given everything that's gone on, everything that's going on, war in Ukraine, inflation, everything that's going on, just tight margins. It's incredibly impressive that they've gotten this through.
Absolutely. I mean, I think if you look at it, right, I mean, it's not as fast as Amy Coney Barrett, but I mean, this is basically on that 40-day glide path that Biden announced he had kind of set for this confirmation process. You know, I think a couple people to point out, right? Number one, Dick Durbin, huge win for him, chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. You know, I think he handled this in a pretty low-key manner, but he pushed forward and was very effective. You know, when he needed to be, particularly in pushing back on Republicans, but never kind of overplaying his hand. I think that really worked in the favor for Democrats, and the fact that this was bipartisan, right? That was a big issue. You know, they didn't need it to be, but certainly this White House wanted to get some Republicans on board. And because they chose KBJ, who had just been confirmed to the Court of Appeals for the DC Circuit in June of 2021, they were able to get not only Susan Collins, but also Lisa Murkowski, and then, of course, Mitt Romney.
That's right. And I would say that it's, while this is incredibly historic, and I don't think there's any, no one can downplay the absolute kind of historic nature of this. The reason it went off without a hitch, or kind of without a hitch, is that this does not change the ideological makeup of the court. I mean, a liberal is replacing a liberal, and that prompted, or that prevented, I think, Republicans from taking a big stand against KBJ. I mean, we saw, of course, a lot of criticism, but there was not the kind of there wasn't a lot of bare knuckle brawling. There was, but there wasn't. It didn't seem as high stakes as other fights. I think that's fair to say, just because KBJ, again, the court is 6-3, it's not changing. And even with all these big decisions in front of the court, whether it's abortions, guns, and everything like that, it's not changing.
Yeah, I agree. Although I will say, I do think, you know, really the standout when you look back at these moments, what people will remember, despite the, you know, kind of ugly grilling that a lot of the Republicans on the committee focused on questioning, you know, her rulings as related to some of these pornography cases, really was Senator Cory Booker. You know, his emotional interaction with Jackson was clearly, I think, the highlight of the hearings for many, you know, was certainly welcomed by a lot on the left in terms of making sure, to your point, this is a historic nomination. A black woman is going to be on the Supreme Court for the first time in history. And that is that should and probably will be the headline. Let's move on to the second story of the morning here. We have some news. GOP super PACs continuing to crush House Dems. What's happening, Jake?
Yeah, so this is a huge story. We hear this all the time from House Democrats that the Republican super PACs are just completely trouncing. The Republican super PACs and related nonprofits are completely trouncing Democrats, just drowning them. And here's some stunning news. I mean, when I found this out yesterday, I was shocked. The Congressional Leadership Fund raised $37.5 million in the first quarter of 2022 and has $93.5 million on hand. Okay, so that's data point number one. House Majority PAC and House Majority Forward, which is the Democratic counterparts to CLF and the American Action Network, raised $16 million combined. So the Republican super PAC in the first quarter, $37.5 million. Democrats, two organizations, $16 million. So that is just a humongous disparity between the two organizations, and just shows the Republicans' absolute prowess on the super PAC side for raising money. Of course, the DCCC is outraising the NRCC. But, Anna, I mean, you could say what you want about, it does show an energy about just who donors think is taking back the House.
Well, and where they're willing to certainly make investments, right? I mean, I think that clearly the Republicans on the super PAC front have figured out the special sauce to get donors motivated to contribute here. And also, you know, the guy behind the CLF who's, you know, doing a lot of this and at least is the face of it is Kevin McCarthy, right? Who is the heir apparent to become the next speaker. So certainly that's where he is spending his money and time. Let's talk one other thing I thought was interesting. House Republican Conference Chair Elise Stefanik raised $2 million in the first quarter of 2022 for her reelection account, EPAC. She's raised more than $12 million this cycle and transferred more than $2 million to the NRCC. Clearly a rising star among the House Republicans in terms of, you know, a lot of different areas, but fundraising is key. And as we often talk about, is one of the key ways that people move up in leadership.
That's right. She is the number three House Republican. A lot of her focus, quite frankly, is on getting women elected to the House Republican Conference. She's has a EPAC, which is her leadership PAC, which is focused focused solely on electing women to Congress. She's raising way more money than Liz Cheney did when Liz Cheney was the Republican Conference Chair.
All right, let's move on to the number three story of the morning. Always interesting to kind of understand the sentiment of where political ads are going. I think you can kind of put your finger up into the wind and get a sense of what is breaking through potentially on the ground. And one of those issues, not that surprising, but I do think is this ad that we're going to talk about here is, you know, kind of a foreshadowing of what people can expect to see in some of these high profile races, focusing on inflation, Jake.
Yeah, this ad is running in Kansas against Laura Kelly, the Democratic governor. They're trying to hang, you know, sky high gas prices, food prices, things of that nature around Laura Kelly's neck. Of course, high prices and inflation have very little to do with a governor, Republican or Democrat. I mean, that's clear. But this does show, and you should check out the ad in Punch Bowl News AM. They're trying to hang it around her neck, and this is a preview of what we're going to see around the country this year when it comes to how people are running against Democratic incumbents.
All right. With that, just a quick reminder, you can join us in Detroit if you're listening from there, or you can tune in virtually tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., when we are going to interview Senate Homeland Security Committee and DSCC Chair Senator Gary Peters. We are very excited about that, heading to Detroit this afternoon. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. If you could leave us a review or rating, we would really appreciate it. You can also subscribe to Punchbowl News at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe.